Okay, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you, Lord and God, for this Sabbath day. Lord, you're very aware of this conversations we're having, Lord and God. We pray today, Lord, you'll wash us in thy holy blood of any sin, any spot, any blemish, as we come here on your holy day, your Sabbath. And Lord, in this season, it's supposed to be a season of simcha, joy. Lord, this is the Feast of Tabernacles, and this is what we should be concentrating on, nothing else. And I just thank and praise you today, Lord and God, that we're in your feast and we're on your Sabbath, and it's a big number 7, and we are conscious of that. Bless everyone that's with us today. Bless all the people that are not with us. Lord and God, I pray that you'll guard our hearts, protect us spiritually, put a wall of fire around and about our hearts. Lord and God, you said, Lord, keep your Sabbath. That word keep is very important. Shmor means to guard, put a fence around. And we put a fence around not only your Sabbath, but your word, Lord and God, and we guard it. Lord and God, bless and anoint everything that's said today. Make it be for the glory of your body and for your people, Lord and God. Lord, teach us, instruct us. Lord and God, give us faith, fear, wisdom, and understanding like never before in the day and hour we're living in the mighty name of Yeshua, Jesus, amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Well, for everyone that's new here that I don't know, it's nice to see you. And we don't usually start off like this. Just to let...
It was just as she was getting into it.
Okay. Okay, praise the Lord. Right now, today we're here because it's the Sabbath, but it's also the Feast of Tabernacles. I don't know if you're... Are you familiar with the Feast of Tabernacles? Anybody in the room here never heard of the Feast of Tabernacles? You ever hear of the Feast of Tabernacles? Okay. Well, the Feast of Tabernacles is actually a feast of the Lord. It's something that everyone should be partaking in. And this is what your brain should be engulfed in. You know, I was thinking today, and I also thought yesterday, there is so much to think about in the Feast of Tabernacles. I don't know if anyone here goes home and contemplates the Feast of Tabernacles, all the scriptures, what they mean, what took place back maybe in the temple time, what took place back in the days when it first started. There's a lot to this. I mean, I'm only touching upon little pieces of it. But this little study I put together, for everyone, we are one of Messiah congregation, Kahal Echad BeMashiach. Today is October 14th. Believe it or not, God has his own calendar. I don't know if you're used to that, but God has his own calendar. And we're in the 7th month of God. And it has this amazing name. It's called Ha'etanim in Hebrew. And I'll explain what that means to you. And it's the 20th day. Now, for everyone who keeps the Shabbat, I'm very happy because the Sabbath is a sign, okay? But I do want you to understand, Sunday night at sundown and all day Monday, this is on the calendar that we use, the Gregorian calendar, October 16th, it's a Shabbaton. It's actually a special Sabbath. And this is all day Monday. So if you're someone that keeps the Sabbath, Monday is a Shabbaton. Very holy day to God. It's called a solemn assembly, and it's the 8th day of the feast. It's called Hashemini Atzeret, and that's what that means. It's a holy assembly. So that's what's happening on Monday, in case you don't know that. I know a lot of people never heard of there's other Sabbaths besides the weekly Sabbath, and some of these are even more intense because they use the word in the Hebrew, Shabbaton, which means a really holy Sabbath. And it means it's very important. It has more significance and more information that pertains to our future. But if you've never read this before, in Leviticus 23:33, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the 7th month. Now, we're not talking about Pope Gregory's month. We're talking about in God's calendar. This is the 15th of the 7th month shall the Feast of Tabernacles shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days. So far, I do want you to concentrate on everything I'm talking about today is the number 7, because it's just, I feel like I'm sometimes drowning in the number 7, because it's the 7th month, and this right here, we're doing a feast for 7 days unto the Lord. And the first day there shall be a holy convocation. That word holy convocation is a Sabbath. We did that last Monday. It's a mikra. A mikra in Hebrew means it's an assembly, it's a rehearsal, and it's a holy convocation. You get together, and you're supposed to study and go over different words. You know, I wish sometimes that we could all learn a little bit of Hebrew because it would be so exciting, and we could really do a, it's called a midrash. We would all sit around and go through really every word, and that's when you really learn about the Bible, because every word means so much. I mean, like when you see the word keep, that little word keep in Hebrew, shemor, really means a lot more than just keep. It means protect. It means guard. It means put a fence around. It means, you know, it's a lot more than just keep. So there's a lot of words in Hebrew that have a real meaning. Then it's different than keep the Sabbath, you know, just keep it. But it's powerful, the word. It's powerful. I mean, if you think about put a fence around it, protect it, guard it, you know, it's something sacred. So, but maybe one day we can do a little Hebrew too. I like to do everything. I'm for everything. I'll be here 7 days a week if you want. I mean, I do this every day anyway. So anyway, praise the Lord. So it's a holy convocation, and you should do no civil work. You're not supposed to do any work on these Sabbaths, and there are more Sabbaths than just the seventh-day Sabbath. So here we go again. 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the eighth day, this is that great day that Jesus was talking about in John chapter 7, just happens to be John chapter 7 too, shall be a holy convocation unto you. You shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and you should do no civil work therein. And verse 36 says, 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, and the same thing, the eighth day. The eighth day is very important because we have 7 day feast. And, you know, this year actually felt like a feast to me. Every year it's starting to feel more and more like a feast, and it's starting to feel different. It's starting to get that feeling that, wow, this is exciting. I mean, there's something about this whole feast of the Lord. We read the Bible a lot every day so far out of our sukkah for everyone that was with us. And if you missed joining us, you're missing out, because then to you it's not a feast. It's just, you know, if you're not with us, then I don't know where you went this week, because this week was a feast of the Lord, and you should be all gathered together, studying and reading. I had all kind of conversations this week. Very nice week, I could see. I even listened to some rabbis for hours, and they're really out of it. They were trying to tell me there's prophet school, and I said, oh no, you mean you can go to school to become a prophet? How much is the tuition? Nah. So that we know that's made up. Anyway, so we on the eighth day is a holy. We're going to be doing the eighth day, of course. Everyone's invited to come to our sukkah on Monday, the holy convocation, and it is a solemn assembly. And of course, we're going to be there on the Shabbaton, which is real serious to God, besides the Sabbaths. Also, on the 15th day, seventh month. I just wanted to show you that it's in the book of Leviticus, and it's also in the book of Numbers. It's in the book of Deuteronomy. It's in Second Chronicles. It's in Nehemiah. It's everywhere in the Bible. More, I was looking at it. It's in the Gospel of John. The Feast of Tabernacles is everywhere. I never even thought of that until this year. But it says right here, the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. The first day is a Sabbath. And listen to this. Now, for seven people that are in Seventh-day Adventist way of thinking, look at this. The first day is a Sabbath, and the eighth day is a Sabbath? Really? That's right in your Bible. So that's very important to show Seventh-day Adventists, because they only think the Sabbath is on the seventh day. Right here it says, on this particular feast of the Lord, the eighth day is a Sabbath.
First day isn't a weekly Sabbath either.
That's right.
They
should take note of this verse and go show their Seventh-day Adventist ministers and say, what do you think of that? Because they can't say nothing about it. In the Hebrew, you know, it's Shivat Yamim. It says, Bayom Rishon Shabbaton. See that little red thing right there? It says Shabbaton. It says, U Bayom Hashemini Shabbaton. That's two Shabbatons. And that means it's a special Sabbath. What that means is, it's a day that you're supposed to really absorb the word, get together. It's a day that everyone's brain should be thinking about all these things instead of anything else. It's a feast unto the Lord. If God invites you to his house and having a feast, it'd be silly if you're in the corner watching TV, or if you're over there bowling. You know, in other words, when this is a feast and it's something you're supposed to concentrate on, because it has something to do with the second coming of the Messiah. I doubt in the second coming of the Messiah you're going to be thinking about doing anything else. If the Lord was coming back right now, what would you be doing? I got to go to the store, or I got, what would you, no, if the Lord's coming back, I mean, you know, you wouldn't be thinking of anything else. So here's Numbers 29:35, on the eighth day shall have a solemn assembly. The reason why I just wanted to put some of these verses down so you see it's many places that this feast, and it's the same thing right there. It's Bayom HaShemini Atzeret Tihyeh Lechem. So it's a solemn assembly unto you. It says, Kol Melechet, all work, Avodah Lo Ta'asu. That means you're not supposed to do any work. Like Melechet is work, and Avodah is like more, a lot of work. And he says, Lo Ta'asu, you're not supposed to do any work. So that's very important. The reason I put the Hebrew there, I know you can't read it, but just to show you that the actual original language, that English of the King James matches it, just to show you that. It really actually says that, what you're seeing there in English. That's the reason why I do that, not to just hit you with a bunch of Hebrew. I just want to make sure you realize that English sentence is for real, okay? Anyway, it's supposed to be rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous. Rananu tzaddikim b'Yehovah. Rananu tzaddikim. Are you tzaddikim? Are you righteous? You're supposed to be righteous, right? So you're supposed to be rejoicing in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous. Give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. And ye shall take on you the first day the boughs. This is what we did. We went and got the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, boughs of thick trees, willows of the brook. And brought the willows of the brook. And ye shall rejoice. We're supposed to rejoice before the Lord, what, just that day? No, 7 days. I came out this morning. I got some coffee. I went back out to get the signs. Some guy walked by. I said, "Hey, Shabbat Shalom." He goes, I said, "Today's a Sabbath." He said to me, "Yeah, yes, it is." I said, "Yeah." He told me, "God bless you." I said, "You too. Praise Him." I hope he knew what he was saying. But anyway, Brother Nehemiah, that N-E-H stands for Nehemiah, okay, Nehemiah. All the people gathered together, themselves together, as one man in the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the Torah. When you see that word law, in Hebrew it's Torah. And it doesn't just mean law. Torah also means the teachings of God. So he brought the teachings of God, or the law, or the Torah, which the Lord had commanded Israel. And on the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers of the people. See, in other words, this is very important. They didn't just go get the people. They got the chief of them to teach and help out. And you don't go talk to the chief and the principal people, because the other people are supposed to be learning. So they went and got the chief of the fathers of the people, the priests, the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. So these are the guys that you... If you have something you want to go talk to, you go talk to them. You don't go talk to the people, you know, the average people. And they found written in the Torah, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. So wait. So that little sentence right there, your mind might go like this. Your mind might go immediately. You might hear a little voice go, "You're not the children of Israel." Right? The little voice, you might hear that. Well, believe it or not, the truth of the matter is, no matter who you are, if you accepted the Messiah of Israel and you joined the Israel of God, you're not spiritually an Israelite. We're in the flesh, right? We're the children of Israel, Jacob. In other words, we're doing what God says. We're actually physically doing it. We're not spiritually doing it. It doesn't mean, in other words, when you join a club, let's say I join any club in the world, I'm not spiritually joining it. No, I physically joined the club. You know what I mean? Like let's say we're even playing cards, and I'm one of the people playing cards. I'm not spiritually with you. I'm physically there, right? So that's what's important to understand, that this pertains to you too. In other words, the new covenant, who was the new covenant given to? Okay? Does everybody understand what I'm saying? The new covenant was given to the house of Israel. It says that in Jeremiah, and it says that in the book of Hebrews, chapter 8. So, yeah, so if you're grafted in, so that means you're in, right? Who's the vine?
Lord.
Jesus says, I'm the vine, and who's the branches, right? And we all get plugged in, whether you're a natural branch or a grafted in branch, it doesn't matter because you still have to repent no matter who you are and get plugged in, right? So God's no, right, right, and that's right. So now that we're all understanding that, then this is, you should say, oh, the Lord had commanded by Moses that the children of Israel, that means me too, should dwell in booths. I never heard of that in the feast of the seventh month. What are we going to do that for? Well, we can explain that to you. It says, and that they should publish, and we tried to publish a little bit. We probably, I don't know how good we were. We published.
Better than last year.
Better than last year. Sometimes I feel like a big flop, but we did publish a little bit. And we proclaimed in all the cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go forth unto the mount and fetch olive branches and pine branches and myrtle branches and palm branches and branches of fig trees to make booths as it is written. So the people went forth and brought them and made them booths. Everyone upon, listen to this, top of their roof. They didn't say, well, I don't have a place for it. They did it on the top of their roof. I can't imagine. I hope they had flat roofs, you know. And in their courts and in the courts of the house, they even did it in the courts of the house of God. And in the street, they even did it in the street and in the water gate and in the street of the gate of Ephraim. Yeah, they did it everywhere. They were so excited that God told them to do this. I mean, if God told me to do anything, I'd be excited. I mean, if he just told me to just anything, I'd be excited. That'd be like, wow, that'd be the more than I could ever imagine. All the congregation of them that will come out of the captivity made booths. Let me ask you, were you ever captive to sin?
Amen.
Yeah. So this is symbolically what's happening. We come out of captivity, we make booths, and we sit under the booths. For since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, unto that day had not the children of Israel done so, and there was very great gladness. And, you know, in other words, that's hundreds of years, probably 1,000 years almost, between Joshua and Nehemiah. It's like really, it's just amazing. And we, again, have found the book of the Lord in the house of the Lord. And we, again, have found that it's written in the Torah that we're supposed to dwell in booths. It's like we're like them almost. Here we are thousands of years later, we found the same thing. Because we were just regular, some of us were just regular church people. Some of us were in Judaism. Some of us were in everybody's isms. But then we found written in the book that it actually says this. And we started doing it. We're like just like that, exactly. And I have very great gladness. Praise the Lord. Do you? Okay. Listen to this. And here's what we did. And too bad, you know, some of you, I didn't see some of your faces this week. But here's what we're supposed to have done. We did it. And day by day, from the first day unto the last day, they read in the book of the law of God. And they kept the feast 7 days, and on the 8th day was a solemn assembly, according unto the manner. Praise the Lord. So anyway, the Lord didn't come back this year. Maybe he can give it a try again next year. So you might say to yourself, well, I don't know about this. Why are we rejoicing? I mean, you know, building the booth, the water, it was freezing. I mean, the grass is wet. The bugs were getting me, the mosquitoes. I mean, what's so happy about that? I mean, the mole is trying to come up from the ground. No, well, this is why you're supposed to rejoice, because in the seventh month of God, it's so important. We hear the sound of the trumpet, and then we always want to be forgiven, no matter what time of the year it is. But so much more at this point, because we believe this is when the Lord's coming. So you could tabernacle with the Lord throughout eternity, and this is what happens to you. And it says in Deuteronomy, and thou shalt remember that thou. This is why you're supposed to be rejoicing. You're supposed to remember that you were a bondman in Egypt. In other words, oh man, before I met the Lord, I was wretched. Before I met the Lord, I was, you know, the old man of sin. You're supposed to be thinking about that, how, wow, God really did save me and changed me. I'm a new person, new creature. And he delivered us. And the thing you're supposed to really rejoice, see this blowing of trumpets, and then right after blowing of trumpets, a little season there of, it's called tshuva, repentance, making sure you're right with God. And if you really believe this, then you should really believe that God says in Isaiah 43:25, he says, I, even I am he that blotted out thy transgressions for mine own sake. He always uses the word mine, oh sake. Isn't that amazing? And I will not remember thy sins. Now, you might think that little sentence right there today, you might, oh, okay, you remember the sins. Okay, what's for lunch? No, believe me, when the breath is going out of you and you know for sure that he's not going to remember my sins against me, he's forgiving me. There's nothing more important than that, to meet, stand before God and no spot or blemish. I'm clean. I mean, there's nothing really more. If you can digest what I'm trying to say right there, that right there is enough to make you rejoice for a long time to know that you're forgiven. See, right now it's very sad. In Judaism and other religions, they have no blood sacrifice. I don't know how they really justify. I don't know how they can honestly feel they're forgiven. You know, I heard some rabbis talking again this week, and they were talking about that. They were saying, you know, that sometimes they go through stuff about, you know, are we really forgiven? Or did I really think about the Lord enough? Did I really consider the feast enough? I heard this one rabbi who's going on and on, like, did I really do enough? Did I really consider the feast enough? Did I really read enough? Am I really, you know, he was so worried about really being forgiven, you know? But I was thinking, but what about the blood? What about the sacrifice that's needed? See, in other words, the sacrifice at the Feast of Tabernacles is pointing to the Messiah who shed his blood. Without the blood of the Messiah, you're lost, no matter how nice you are. And I always tell people, if you bought all the Girl Scout cookies in the world, and if you don't have the blood, you're lost. Jesus said, if you don't have him, you're lost. And I know, you know, there's a lot of religions don't have the Messiah, and he is the sin sacrifice. Anyone who tries to change who the Messiah is and the Word of God, to me, it is blaspheme. Because if you don't understand who he really is and what he is, and what he did for us, that is horrible. And this right here is enough to rejoice. Mm-hmm. You know, and you, okay? Our sukkah, you know, a sukkah is the booth we made, and to me, that's just a shadow of our future home. One day, we're going to tabernacle with the Lord throughout eternity. Revelations 21:3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. You know, we've been doing the Feast of Tabernacles for a while now, but, you know, and we did it again this year, but, you know, we're still here. I'm rejoicing and everything, but I would rather be with the Lord. Apostle Paul says that too when he was on the earth, you know. He says he's in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better, but he knows that it's needful to be here right now so we can all study together. I mean, I'd rather leave right now. I mean, if I die, don't think, hey, I'm going to pray that I'm clean and I'm no blemish, and don't worry about me. I want to make sure I'm with the Lord. Don't say, oh, man, where's Angelo? Where'd he go? Where'd Malachi go? I'm with the Lord. I'll see you guys later. I mean, I want to be with the Lord. But, I mean, this verse right here, the tabernacle of God is with men. That's the real Feast of Tabernacles. And to be honest with you, every day of your life should be a shadow of the Feast of Tabernacles, because you are the temple of the living God, and you want God to dwell in you. Just like we put the branches over the sukkah, and we want God to protect us. Every day of your life, you are a walking Feast of Tabernacles, because you're supposed to be the temple of the living God. Did you remember that last week? Did you remember last week you were the temple of the living God? Did you? Did you remember that last week once? That you're the temple of the living God? Good. Okay, if you did, that's something you should really think about, because that will change your whole disposition of how you carry yourself, how you talk, and how you want to be a little more holier. You know, it doesn't say in the Bible, act sexy. I don't know who made that up. It says act holy, and so you can be a testimony to people. Right? Anyway, Isaiah 65:17. This is another reason to rejoice. Okay? This is, to me, is a big time reason to rejoice, because I create heavens, a new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. Now that scripture is very important. I'm sure you could think about it for a long, long time. This scripture, to me, when I read this, what I get out of it, one little thing I get out of it, these things, the former should not be remembered or come into mind. I'm so happy about that. That means some of my relatives that didn't accept the Messiah, I'm not even going to be thinking about them. In other words, I'm not going to be sad throughout eternity because they didn't repent. I'm not even going to think about them. It's not going to even come into my mind. I'm going to be eternal. There's so much happiness there. You know, that's why it's so important to know why we are rejoicing. This is the ultimate being with the Lord, is tabernacling with Him. As far as I'm concerned, is the ultimate Feast of Tabernacles, because it can't beat that. He says in Isaiah 66:22, "For the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord. So shall your seed and your name remain." You're going to have eternal life. Isn't that beautiful? Now, it says, 2 Peter, Peter says the same thing, you know. He says, "Nevertheless, we according to His promise..." Peter read the book of Isaiah, because he had nothing else to read. He said, I mean, he had the Tanakh. In other words, Peter didn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He's reading the Tanakh, or the, it's called, as you people know, the Old Testament. So he's reading the book of Isaiah, and it says, "We, according to His promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness." Just think, there'll be no sinners there. Could you imagine that? Nobody that's going to do you wrong. And then John, that's banished to the Isle of Patmos, he says the same thing. "I saw a new heaven and a new earth." I mean, we got Isaiah. We got all these witnesses. Isaiah, we got Peter, we got John. They all see this new heaven, new earth. "For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there's no more sea." It's not renewed, it's new. Can you imagine that? New, no more bumps, lumps, no more pain, no more... nothing, nothing, there's no more pain, there's no more crying, there's no sadness. And it's all, this Feast of Tabernacles, again, is about the shadow of our eternal life and tabernacling with the Lord. It's all about Messiah who has eternal life. If you don't have the Messiah, you do not have life. So, unfortunately, all these people in Islam, all these people in other religions that don't have the Messiah, they're lost. Judaism. And we pray for them. We hope that they one day will, you know, find these things out. Matthew 19:16 says, "Behold, one came and said unto him, Good master." This is the question everyone has, basically, in the bottom. You know, everyone's looking for that fountain of youth. You ever hear of that? That's what they're really saying is, "Oh, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? I want eternal life." You know, and of course, Yeshua tells them, "You know the commandments." And that's what it's all about. Did you keep my commandments? And Matthew 25:46, "These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." What I'm just bringing up a couple of scriptures here of things that, if you thought about this on a weekly basis, it might put a smile on your face that you have eternal life, you know what I mean? That you are forgiven of your sins. I mean, that's... to know that you're forgiven of your sins is worth more than all the gold in this world. Really, seriously. Just to know that you're forgiven, oh boy. John 12:25, "He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hated his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." So this is what we're all aiming at. This is what we're all looking for. John 17:3, and this is eternal life, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. John 3:15, that whosoever believeth in Him, of course the Messiah, should not perish, but have eternal life. And of course Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of Me," the Messiah. If you don't have Me, you don't have life. If you don't have Me, you have nothing. And I'll show you where it says that word for word, too. John 6:54, Jesus says, "Whoso eateth My flesh and drinketh My blood had eternal life." And we're gonna take a little bit of bread later. So He says, if you do this, you have eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. Simon Peter answered Him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." John 10:28, "And I gave unto them eternal life." I give unto them eternal life. "And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand." Praise the Lord. 1 John 5:11, This is the record that God had given to us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. That is a very important verse. In other words, if you don't have the Son, you don't have life. And if you think the Son is something that's not correct, you don't have life. He that had the Son had life. He that had not the Son of God had not life. Isn't that, just think of those words. That takes care of a lot of religions. I mean, that's a really scary thing. Just think, you could look holy. You can have the longest beard. You can have all the books behind you. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. That one little sentence makes a lot of people angry. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. This is very important. And it says, and we know the Son of God is, we know that the Son of God has come and had given us an understanding, that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Yeshua, the Messiah. This is the true God. You see that? Jesus, you see it says Jesus right there, the Christ? It says, this is the true God and eternal life. Because He's the only one that has eternal life. It says right there, He's God. This is the true God. Praise the Lord. Now, I just wanted to show you this real quick. It says right here, this is very important to me, and it's becoming more and more open to me, understanding. I pray the Lord opens it more and more. Exodus 31:13. Speak thou also unto the children of Israel. So we're talking to the children of Israel here. Hello, children of Israel, children of Jacob, children of people that keep the Torah. Verily, my Sabbath you shall keep. The word Sabbath means, obviously, like we're talking about in the feast, there's more than one. It's not just the weekly Sabbath, okay? It's a sign. The Sabbath is a sign. This number 7 is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord, not you, that doth sanctify you. Okay? You shall keep my Sabbaths, therefore. It is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. Whosoever doth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoso doth any work in that Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It's a sign. The Sabbath is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Praise the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, we're going back to this, the seventh, that the sign is. I want to make sure the sign and the seven gets into you. Speak unto the children of Israel. It's always speaking to the children of Israel. God is never speaking to the heathen. Do you ever notice that? He's not speaking to the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Jebusites and the Girgashites. He's not speaking to them. He's speaking to the children of Israel. So if he didn't join them, if he didn't join the children of Israel, then you're just one of the nations out there, the Goyim. Okay? The 15th day of the 7th month, you shall be the Feast of Tabernacles, 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no work therein, no civil work therein. Okay? These are the same verses we read before. I just wanted to make sure you go over these again. The 7th day and the 8th day is a special day. The 15th day of the 7th month. 7 days is the feast. Okay? We read all these before. Same thing here in Numbers. We read a little earlier, Numbers 29. You can read that whole chapter about the 7th month, the first day. It talks about this is the blowing of trumpets, okay? And it's also a Sabbath, very important. Now, that didn't fall on the Saturday. That was a different day, the Sabbath, and it was the blowing of trumpets. And it tells you right there what to do, okay? And I just wanted to, you can go up a little bit. And what I want to show you is all these different things that the people had to do. They had to offer a burnt offering of a sweet savor unto the Lord, 1 bullock, 1 ram, 7 lambs of the first year without blemish. And their meat offerings shall be of flour mingled with oil, 3 tenth deals for a bullock and 2 tenth deals for a ram. Okay. What I want to show you that all these feasts, all these sacrifices, they're all, I was looking at them more and more, all these tent deals of, you know, one lamb throughout the seven lambs, one kid of the goats for a sin offering to make an atonement for you. And this, I always think to myself when I read all this, some people think that, wow, we got too much to do now, man. I'm just really overworked. These guys, I mean, they had to do so much, which is all a shadow and different things to understand. And that was beside the burnt offering of the month and his meat offerings and his daily burnt offerings and his meat offering and their drink offerings according to their manner for a sweet savor, a sacrifice made by fire unto the Lord. I mean, this they had to do so much. So if you think, I don't know, sometimes people think that, I don't know, I had one fella tell me one time, he goes, man, you're giving me too much to do. I said, well, you should read some of this if you think that I'm giving you stuff to do. And this is all about, you know, the 10th day, the 7 months, a holy convocation. This was the, of course, Yom Kippur, and it has its sacrifices in that. Okay, and it's the same things. You can just read. I just want to make sure the feasts get into your mind. And what we're up to now, we're coming to the close of the feast in the seventh month, and it's the tabernacles, which is, to me, very, very important. And we already did this already on the 15th day. We did this, and the feast is 7 days. Now, I'm not going to read all this to you, but I just wanted to show you something. See, now, you can just go down very slow. The first day, there's a certain number of bullocks, certain number of rams, a certain number of lambs, and of course there's the goat. Every day has the goat. But I do want to show you something, and this took place every single day. This is all the information on the first day, and you can go. There's 13 young bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs, okay? There's 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering, okay? Now, on the second day, it goes down incrementally. It starts decreasing every day. The bullocks, now there's 12. And then we have 2 rams and 14 lambs, and we have the 1 goat. I noticed it's all the same. And the third day, of course, has 11 bullocks, and you can go down, has all the rest. The fourth day has 10 bullocks. You can go down, please. The fifth day has 9. And it has the 2 rams, 14 lambs, and the 1 goat for the sin offering, the 8 bullocks, and this is so exciting to me. On the seventh day, there was 7 bullocks. It finally got to this number 7, and I told you earlier in the beginning of this talk, 7 is everywhere, 7, 7, 7, 7. So I got to the seventh day, and I thought, wow, it just so happens now there's 7 bullocks. What does this all mean? Because God says the Sabbath is a sign. And I started looking at the numbers a little bit. You can go up a little bit. Mm-hmm. The eighth day has its own little set of information there. The eighth day only has 1 bullock, 1 ram, but this has 7 lambs of the first year, and it has 1 goat for the sin offering, okay? And that's besides all the meat offering and the drink offerings. And now, this is what they had to do in there. Check this out. They had to do this every single day on the feast for 7 days. This is in the set feast beside their vows, their free will offerings that you do with your mouth, your free will offerings, like we read in Psalms last night, for your burnt offerings and your meat offerings and for your drink offerings and your peace offerings. And Moses, you know, he told the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses. So when I was looking at this and looking at it, I got to this right here. Wow. There were 70 bullocks. And there's 98 lambs and 14 rams. So I took the 70, the 98, and the 14, and the 182, and I found out that all these numbers were divisible by 7, wow, which I thought was really amazing. I mean, you know, 70, you know, 7 goes into 70 10 times, 98 14 times, goes into 14, I think, 2 times, 182, I think it goes into 26 times or something like that. But I mean, and then all the goats in the 7 days were 7 goats. And I don't know if that, I can't tell you if this is, God is trying to tell us something here. I don't know if it's a coincidence, but all those numbers I thought was uniquely, I just wanted to show you that God, with the Word of God, the Hebrew words have also numbers and values. And maybe one day we'll go over that. Like when you look at a name, like David or something, that actually equals something. You know, that has a value. And we could look up what that is later. It's pretty exciting. Anyway, I just wanted to let you know that the total of goats was seven for the one day a week, right? We're not talking about the eighth day here. We're just talking about the 7 day feast. So the seven day feast, everything was divisible by seven, which I thought was, I doubt it was a coincidence. Praise the Lord. But that's something I was. No. That's what I'm trying. What I'm trying to get at is that's why every day of the week of the feast, I wish I did have people all day long talking about scriptures and going looking at this verse and we examine this. There's a million things in the Word of God. I mean, really, every little word means something and the value. What's that value equal to that? And it's like a lot of. It's very exciting, and it's not numerology and it's not gematria. It's actually the Hebrew words, Hebrew letters have a value, every one of them. It's very exciting. I'll show you an example. I actually have a piece of paper here. I think I have something right here. Just to show you something. Like right here, for an example, let's say we're just going to add up the name David for an example. David, okay, Dalet is number four, has a value of four. Okay, Vav has a value of seven. So who's adding those up? Okay. And D is four. So is it 15? Okay. So, I mean, that's how you would do it. You would actually take the letters and you would add, you know, you just take the letters and you start adding them all together. I find this, oh, wait a minute, excuse me, Vav is six. Dalet is four, Vav is six, and D is four. Oh, really? Is that divisible by seven? Okay. That's what I thought. I thought I made a mistake. No. I already realized that David equals something that was significant, but then I looked at the wrong letter. But then I realized, wait a minute, it's actually Vav is. We can add that up later. I mean, but I'm saying everybody's name means something. Everything has a son. And David is symbolic of the Messiah. The King David is an actual shadow of Messiah. That's very, very important. And the number seven is important. Everything's a sign. Anyway, so that's what I wanted to talk to at the moment as far as the feasts, because we've been talking all week about the feasts. We've had a full of stuff to talk about. But I just wanted to change the subject right here. This is Israel's watchwords. Watchwords means like the rallying cry for all time. And one day we should all learn this. It's the Shema Yisrael. They say, we say Yehovah Eloheinu, Yehovah Echad. And this is what it says. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And this other commandment was right here, Leviticus 19:18, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. See, this was said in Leviticus. A lot of people don't know that. And when you go down here, it says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Okay? And this is the Hebrew, and that's the English. It does actually says that. And you can slide down, please. And you see that Jesus, he actually quoted the same thing. This way you know that Yeshua, Jesus, was actually reading this. He didn't just, like, make it up, you know. He is the Word. Yes, he's quoting him. He is the Word. Jesus said the first commandment, the first of all the commandments is the one I just read to you in Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the one we read in Leviticus, right, that you can go back up there, what's that, Leviticus 19, okay? It says, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There's none other commandments greater than these. Because if you love God, then you're going to keep the first four of the Ten Commandments, because they're pertaining to God. And if you keep the other six, it's all about how you treat your neighbor. Amen. So if you do all that, you are keeping, you're fulfilling the law of God. You're fulfilling the Torah. Mm-hmm. So this is one little segment of what I want to talk about today. And we'll stop right here. But later, I have two other things I want to talk about. And are you guys tired or saturated? Otherwise, I'll just go into another one. You want to hear more?
I'm hungry.
Would you like to take a break?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll take a break here. Praise the Lord. And then after that, I have a couple other things I'd like to show you. God bless you. Praise the Lord.